Om Namo Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Vasudevaya. Six or seven?
Six.
Quajivitaya sarito viyati.
Quajivitaya sarito viyati.
Quajivitaya sarito viyati.
Quajivitaya sarito viyati.
Parasparam chalasate niranda.
Parasparam chalasate niranda.
Parasparam chalasate niranda. Asatyanadavam kvachidagnitatto. Asatyanadavam kvachidagnitatto. Nirvidyate kvacha yakshevitashu.
Nirvidyate kvacha yakshevitashu.
Quacha dvitaya sarito viyati. Parasparam chalasate nirandaha. Asatya davam kachidagni tapto. Nirvidyate kacha yakshevitashu. Kvachi, sometimes. Vitoya, without depth of the water. Saritaha, rivers. Abhiyati, he goes to bathe or jumps into. Parasparam, one another. Cha, and. Alasate, desires, nirandaha, being with no stock of food. Asadhyā, experiencing. Dāvam, a forest fire in family life. Kvachit, sometimes. Agni taptaha, burned by fire. Nirvidyate is despondent. Kwa, somewhere. Cha, and. Yakshai, by kings resembling rogues and thieves. Vitaha, taken away. Ashu, wealth, which is as dear as one's life. Translation proper by Divine Grace of Prabhupada ki jai. Sometimes the conditioned soul jumps into a shallow river or being short of food grains. He goes to beg food from people who are not at all charitable. Sometimes he suffers from the burning heat of household life, which is like a forest fire. And sometimes he becomes sad to have his wealth, which is as dear as life, plundered by kings in the name of a heavy income tax. Everybody's ready, a very heavy verse. So, Srila Prabhupada is very down to earth. Just going to listen carefully. Purport. When one is hot due to the scorching sun, one sometimes jumps into a river to gain relief. However, if the river is almost dried up and the water is too shallow, one may break his bones by jumping in. Haven't me. I still have my bones. But The conditioned soul is always experiencing miserable conditions. Sometimes his effort to get help from friends are exactly like jumping into a dry river. With such actions, he does not derive any benefit. He only breaks his bones. Sometimes suffering from a short age of food and may go to a person who is neither able to give charity nor willing to do so. Sometimes one is stationed in household life, which is compared to a forest fire. Samsara dhavana lila loka. When a man is heavily taxed by the government, he becomes very sad. Heavy taxation obliges one to hide his income. But despite this endeavor, the government agents are often so vigilant and strong that they take all the money anyway, and the conditioned soul becomes very aggrieved. Thus people are trying to become happy within this material world, but this is like trying to be happy in a forest fire. No one need to go to a forest to set it ablaze. Fire takes place automatically. Similarly, no one wants to be unhappy in a family life or worldly life, but by the laws of nature, unhappiness and desire and distress are forced upon everyone. To become dependent on another's maintenance is very degrading. Therefore, according to the Vedic system, everyone should live independently. Only the Shudras are unable to live independently. They are obliged to serve someone for maintenance. It is said in the Shastras, Kalo Shudra Sambhava, in this age Kali, everyone is dependent on one another's mercy for the maintenance of the body. Therefore, everyone is classified as a Shudra. In the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that in Kali Yuga, the government will levy taxes without reciprocally benefiting the citizens. Anavishya Vanay Shanti Durviksha Kara Piditaha. In this age, there will be also a shortage of grains, rain. Therefore, sacrifice and scarcity of food will arise, and the citizens will be very much harassed by the government taxation. In this way, the citizens will abandon their attempts to lead a peaceful life and will leave their home and herds and go to the forest in sheer disappointment. It makes me sad just by reading it. So this is the reality of this Kali Yuga we are living in. It's a very age that distressing. So Kali Yuga means the age of suffering. That's it. Actually, by the mercy of Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have this Krishna consciousness. We can realize a little bit that we are not meant to be here. And let's get out of here. And it's illusion to think I'm happy. Everyone's looking for happiness. But Prabhupada used to always say, we're looking for happiness in the wrong place. I always give the example of a fish out of water. You can give him everything like we have, a home and family, but we all know fish, they belong in the water. That's their home. That's their constitution. So we living in these, we are looking for happiness in a place where there is no happiness. That's what Maya means. Maya means some illusion. It looks like it's there, but it's not there. You're running for happiness, but at the end you get nothing. Prabhupada is explaining here very nicely. There is no grains. And you see sometimes, even today, there are places where there is no food to eat. Even in India, even it's a very wealthy country, there is so much land and grains. There are still people who are begging for food, not much to eat. And you go someplace in the Middle East, and we all know about it. There's no food and water. They have to go a long way to get water. So this is all due to karma. Karma means we've done bad activities and then we have to suffer for it now. So it's mentioned here, when I have to sacrifice, I have to realize by sacrifice the rain is coming. Annat bhavati bhutani, anna, food, is grown feet, rice grains, and it harvested because of the rain. If there's good rain, then there is food grows. The land is fertile. But the rain is not coming. Drought. Is it last year or year before, right? There was drought in Australia. The cause of drought is due to karma. People are not offering sacrifice to God, not realizing the Supreme Lord, and so there is, the demigods are holding back. So there's no rain. People are, very simple thing. You may be thinking you are very advanced, civilized. You have your advanced economy, so-called economy. Simply there's no rain, there will be no grains. Nothing to eat. You can have big bank balance and your technology. But if there's no rain, nothing grows. So demigod, they turn off the tap. Finally, anger was. No more water. Just like here, I see taps are running because we have too much water here. So the demigod, they turn off the tap. Just like when you don't pay your bills, they turn off the tap. You go to take a shower, no hot water, because you didn't pay the bill. There's a gas bill coming, you pay, you ignore it. And you have gas to heat up your water. So the demigods, they turn off the tap. Drought, no rains. We have to recognize the owner is Krishna. So Kali Yuga, we have been, another Prabhupada explained, tax. We are taxing, the government is taxing. High tax. In America, they have now, they are going to raise the tax, the rich class, to help the poor. But the thing is, they are going to tax more and more, the squeezing people, get every drop of money out. And people are going to be so harassed that they're going to go away from the city, go to the forest. And even there is no forest left. They're cutting down the trees. We'll make toilet paper for you. Isn't it? In India, we don't even have toilet paper. Everyone goes to the field. In the beginning of the pandemic last year, they were fighting over toilet paper in the supermarket. Even the shelves were empty. So, there's going to be trees left. Because Australia is very famous for forest bushfire, all burned down. This is all due to karma. You don't recognize the owner, so there is going to be suffering unto us. See, the devotees don't suffer. Only non-devotees suffer. We suffer in a different way. We forget Krishna. Somebody tells you something, you get hurt. But our main suffering is that we are, we lack of Krishna consciousness. The suffering is always there in materialistic people. They think they are happy, but there is no happiness. Like Prabhupada gives the example of a mirage. The deer is looking for water in the desert. They run and run, and it looks like there's water way over there. And by the time you get there, there's no water. It's just like that's called mirage. Illusion. So we are thinking, Although in America I'll be happy. Now they had to make the big wall from the Mexicans and to come into America. They think they have a better place for living. Australia, good Australia. And then they come here. One Indian person was telling me they have to work more hard here than India. You know, you can have a better life. But I remember one time I wanted to learn commerce, you know, in the university. So I joined. So the guy was explaining. He had a sketch of like a cake. So he had 1%, 2%, and it looked like a dollar. So the government is taxing you. So by the time you finish your work, you had a degree, and then they make sure that you have as less as possible. They're taxing you. So we think we are doing very well. But actually we have been tricked by the government, by everyone. Like people go gambling. And they think they're going to win. Why do you think the lottery company, they all know, they want to make sure that you don't win. Only one person. And everyone is thinking I'm the winner. So they make money out of you. They make millions and one person wins millions, but they make triple the time. But we're being tricked by Maya, thinking I'm the winner. I'm so happy. Prabhupada used to give the example of a camel. You know, camel? They chewing on the thorn. And they think, very nice. The thorn, it rips their mouth open from the thorn. And they're eating their own blood. And they're thinking it's really nice. So this is the suffering. We think we are enjoying, but usually it's suffering. So Maya makes us think it's a very beautiful place. You go to the forest, you see, sometimes you open the TV and they have geographical magazines and those TV channels where they show one animal attacking the other animal. It's very horrific. Even Facebook, they're always putting this somehow. And lions attacking a deer and eating it. So the deer is thinking, ah, so nice, jumping, eating the green grass. And before you know, the lion comes. So this is the mature world. We are being illusioned. The thinking, so nice here. It is very nice here. I'm going around taking photos, putting it up. The reality is, this mature world is we are bombarded by miseries. There's no rain. It's very hot. It's very cold. So this way, we are bombarded by sufferings. So Bhagavatam is pointing out, Raghuvana, Maharaja Raghuvana is pointing out. He's been very strongly using his knowledge, preaching to Raghuvana. This Jarbarat. So that's our business, is to preach Krishna consciousness very strongly. There's no compromising. That's why guru means one who is very heavy with knowledge. They're cutting your throat. It's not cutting your throat, they're cutting your ignorance. So guru means one who is heavy with knowledge. So Raghuvana, he was ignorant, king, and puffed up. And Jarabharat cutting his ignorance with a knife of knowledge. That's what guru means, that's what Vaishnava means, is to wake us up from this ignorance of material existence, thinking it's so wonderful here, everything is so nice here, I love it here, I'm loving it. What is there to love about? Birth, death, old age, disease. These are the sufferings, that's the reality. But Maya makes it such a nice packaging, you see, packaging. It's all in the front. It looks all nice. But once you enter it, it's full of suffering. Just like Grihastha, Prabhupada explains here. Family life. It's not easy for you. isn't it? Who said it's easy? It's not easy. I talk to every grihastha, they're all my friend. I'm always mixing with grihastha devotees. They are telling me, oh, come, come to here, you know, this. I don't have a job enough because of the pandemic, the company's going broke, now I'm going to pay, I may have to go back to India. India, they also have trouble. Where to run to? Bhagavan Kapas, you have to run to Krishna. So sometimes Krishna creates a situation where we have to turn to Him. Because we become ignorant of this. We think this world is so good. So Krishna creates a situation, we have to turn to Him. Because ultimately He wants us to come to Him. Because that's His mercy on us. You know, there's a pig family. There was a pig family. Hey, so no, the pig family. They are Indra, you know, Indra in heaven. He became a pig because he cursed. He got a curse from the Vaishnava, and he became very proud. So he was cursed to take birth as a pig in the material world. Can you imagine? Even once you're a king, then you're all of a sudden you're a pig in a dirty water area. Then he was very enjoying this. He was a pig, but he enjoyed very much the pig life. Eating all the dirt and have pig family. And he said, oh, my pig family. He was very happy. He didn't know that he was a king in heaven. How wonderful. But he was more happy as a pig in the gutter. So the Brahma and the demigods, they were very worried that they didn't have a manager up there. So then they all came down. He was preaching to him, please get up, come out from this. And he said, no, I'm very happy here. Don't bother me. I'm very happy here with my pig life. He didn't want to come back. You know, he's sitting in golden throne in heaven. People in India, they all want to go to heaven. Isn't it? They worship the demigods. They think they're going to heaven. Anyway, so my point is that we are becoming so entangled in this world. Forgetfulness of Krishna is when you become too entangled. So Krishna created a situation where we are, when the suffering comes, then hey Krishna, turn to Krishna. That's our business. That's why Jara Bharat being so heavy, these verses are so heavy. He's cutting his ignorance. Raghuna has become puffed up. Carry me. They still have the good issue in India. They're getting the Indians to carry them on this rickshaw in Calcutta. Yeah. So, this is the situation. People will be taxed, mentioned here. They run away to the forest. It's been happening already. This is why sometimes us also, we want to get away from the city. We go to the farm, countryside. It's so beautiful there. But no one's there. Everyone is rushing to the city. Because they think they can earn more money. They can be very happy in the city. And you see the people here in the city, they are so unhappy. Full of anxiety. It says, I was reading a thing in Australia, 27% of the population have less than $1,000 in the bank. Statistics, less than 1,000. Oh, they're working, they're not saving. They depend on the salary. As soon as they get the salary, they use it up. And they wait for the next salary. They don't have this idea of saving. Even though it says, press the button, saving. There's not much in there. It says saving. Which button? Saving. Just a little bit left, use that for buy your whatever. I remember one brahmacharya he was a brahmachari, but he was living in ashram. This one in Perth, and he was an accountant. He used to go to work living in ashram. He put his clothes, suit and tie, and go to work. And all the ashram boys have said, "Hey, you're working, you should be, you know, we give him a hard time." So then one day he got his from the bank. He got a letter, his balance. So I get that, and he wasn't around. So we opened it. He had more than $100,000 in the bank. So I think this guy is working so hard. He has so much money. This was way back in the 90s. So we all preached to him. He said, you give up this job, you have enough money, you travel and preach. And so he did that. He said, you have enough money, you can use this money to travel and preach. And he's my friend Radhakrishnan, who we live in Dallas. And he's still a brahmachari. And so I saw him last time, I said, how much of that money left now? How was the balance? He said, I want to tell you. So I'm just saying, devotees earn money is for preaching. You know. So some of you brahmacharis here, I'm thinking, I know you guys get around quite a bit, you know, you must have some savings somewhere. But nobody's revealing. But Krishna takes care of his devotees. So if you have our intention to preach Krishna consciousness, Krishna will take care of us. Another couple, they never had a job. And every time I saw them, they're traveling. America, Europe, here, there. I said, Mother, how do you get along? You don't have a job. He said, no, Krishna will take care of you. I said, okay. I wish I could be like that. So it's true. Krishna always takes care of you. But we tax our head. I remember way back in the 80s, you know, when you go to India or somewhere, you arrange yourself how much money you have, how much you're going to spend, so that you have a budget. So I went to India and I was running short of money and I still have another some time left. And then I was thinking, okay, now what's going to do? So then this Kadambakananda Maharaj, he was a good friend of mine. So I said, Maharaj, I'm running out of money. I'm freaking out, you know, like Maharaj said, he's very interesting person. He said, you think you're a enjoyer, huh? You think you have it all worked it out, and you have the proper budget and everything, and Krishna is taking bit by bit away from you. He's putting you in anxiety. Maharaj was always a great preacher. And I said, yes, but it's not time for me to hear all these things. I need some money. But Maharaj was very nice. He said, don't worry. It's all in your head. You will end up with what you have. Because I was counting. Because sometimes when you only have a certain amount, and even in the bank you have less, then you're calculating every time. But when you have a lot, you don't calculate. When you have less, even you check your savings every time. That's what people do. So I was thinking, So all the time devotees give in class in the Bhagavatam, they talk about these things. You know, how we should be detached and shouldn't be too attached to all these things Krishna will provide. But I always have trouble. You know, I'm chanting and everything, but I still need to have the right amount. So where is it all coming? And others are traveling, but for me, I have to work for it. So I asked one devotee, I said, you know, look, these people, they do this and that and no problem. When I do it, everybody's questioning me. So what is the solution to this? He said, because this and that. I wasn't satisfied with the answer. Because sometimes everyone's different. So if I do something, everyone's pinpointing. Everybody else is doing that in mind. So what is this? So I thought maybe Krishna is very kind. He wanted to make sure that Vipaka do things correctly. So we can always know there's a reason for it. You know, the suffering comes. This is a material world. It's a place of suffering. But there's no use taxing your head, breaking your head. Suffering is going to still come. But we have to know how to deal with it. Isn't it? You break your head. Oh, I'm getting old and so many gray hair. That's the fact of life. I was thinking, when I see a blind person, I'm thinking, so I close my eyes and I'm thinking, wow, that's so heavy. Suppose I'm blind, I'll kill myself. Okay, I need to see things. Imagine how horrible it is not be able to see. How distressing. Imagine you're born blind, you can't see. Oh my God. I need to see. I'm talking to you. How are you going to see? So, it's a very, very heavy situation to be born blind. So imagine how lucky we are. How lucky we are. Sometimes somebody is giving me some hard time, I complain. There are people who are worse than us. They're suffering. They're born blind. They're born deformed. They're born in some place, there's no food to eat. Like he has mentioned here, no food to eat. I was always choosing. I want to go to the temple, there's plenty of food to eat. Came here in Melbourne. Oh, God. I went to some other temple, have rice now 3 times a day. I said, oh God, I'm going straight to Melbourne. You know, you come here and any time of the day or night, you're going to get cheesecake. Like awful in prasadam. And this, sometimes I go there, there's all this lying around, nobody wanting me to eat. You go to other temples, there's okay, rice and dal, that's it. How opulent here. And still, devotees find something to complain about. We're so well off. Even some place in India, you know, they have to go far away somewhere to get well, water from the well. There's no water. A hand pump. And then in Bengal, they have this government water. Have you seen it? They turn the taps are already on. But the government supplies water at a particular time of the day, and so the water will come at that time. So everybody is lining up with buckets. So maybe half an hour, 1 hour. So water is running profusely. Everyone's filling up. The rest of the day, it's off. No water there. They're there to control the water. It's a very good system, actually. But then sometimes there's no one there, the water's running. So, everything has a system. So even in India, they're working out how to supply out water. And so I have this thing called ration card. In India, ration card, right? They give, you get cheaper food or something. It's a good system. But at the same time, what I'm saying is that there is not enough food. They go, the Chinese, they are going all over the world and catching fish. Lots of fish. By the millions. And there's going to be time there's no fish left to eat. They are digging the earth, take everything out of the earth. Why there's an earthquake? Because there's imbalance on the earth. In Australia, they're taking the opals out in the country. So big holes, big mountains of earth. They're digging out gold in Kalgoorlie, in Perth, Western Australia, they're digging out gold. So what happens, when you dig stuff out of the ground and take it out, somewhere else is imbalance. That causes imbalance on the earth, and that's also the cause of earthquake. We are the cause of suffering. They say in Bengal, they say, hey, cano. It's Bhagavan is doing it. Why am I suffering? It's his fault. They all say, cano. Why? He says, your fault. Our fault. We create the problem, not God. He made everything perfect here. Many, many years ago, you can drink water from the rivers. You remember that? Before, there was no question of having bottled water. And the first time the bottled water came, bottled water. He was looking at it like, wow, how does that taste like? You know, it's from Europe, bottled water. Mm-hmm. And I was just looking at the bottle. And so, you know, it's very nice, big bottle. And now, you can't drink water from anywhere. So we made the rivers dirty. Sometimes there's water coming from a hill. coming down from a hill. Very nice water. So I was going to drink. They said, don't drink. Because on the other side, there's spring. And that's all going in the water. So we are making the world bad. All the cities in the world, Delhi, Calcutta, all of in New York, Paris. There was a book, I saw a book. Before they built the city, all these cities in the world, they're showing how much land was there. So the land now is extended. You see, Melbourne, I came here in the 80s. Now you go where I live in Craigieburn, all extending, taking away the trees, cutting the trees and putting in houses. They're extending and extending it. And they go inside the house, some guy sitting there in the toilet and they're dirty water just so you can sleep a little bit and pass what you ate the day before. So they're destroying the earth. This is the overpopulation. Varna Shankara. People have children that they are going to only become demons. Someone may say, oh, you Hare Krishna, you're too straight. Rahugana being told by Jarabharat, this thing. These verses are very strong verses. Srila Prabhupada is very strong. So he says here, family life. Okay, I'm not hammering you. Everybody, man, women, all, we're all in the same boat. We're illusion by Maya. I'm Brahmacharya, I'll have a married life, I'll have a better life. And a Grihastha thing, I wish I was a Brahmacharya. So where do you go? No one's happy. Grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Either the town, it is very long, the cows, try to get that piece of grass on the other side. So we're like that. We're looking for happiness in this material world. Looking, searching for happiness. There's nowhere to be found. Dry land, dry, no water, not even a drop of water. So, pani, pani. Then I come with a drop. Open him up, toing. One drop of water. Bodha chalara. That's the happiness Maya giving us, one drop. And we're thinking, oh, this is so good. Everyone is trying to get that drop of happiness. Just a drop. There's no real happiness, no tangible happiness. That's what Jarabharata is telling Rahugana. You get under Maya. You think you are this body. You think you are the king. You think you're full of false ego. He's telling him, "Kating," like a knife. There's a guru, he's full of knowledge. He cuts our ignorance. Even us. He has to tell us a million times before we can realize the truth. So we have to sharpen our knowledge through reading, by associating with devotees, by chanting, sharpen our Krishna consciousness. This is why we have Sadhu Sangha. This is why we go to the Holy Dham. Why we come to the temple, sharpen our spiritual, enlighten us, enlivening our Krishna consciousness by being with one another, talking about Krishna. This is the idea. Not simply work every day. That's okay. But we also, on the sideline, we also need to progress in Krishna consciousness, develop our Krishna consciousness. It's like we had this morning program. It's not a joke. Prabhupada made this program. He could have said, nah, you don't need it. Just sleep every day. Just go out in our books and that's it. Sleep every day. He introduced this morning program, evening program. He could have said, don't worry, you can eat any and garlic. Why? There's rules and regulations are there. There's a serious thing to practice Krishna consciousness. It's laid down by the acharyas. So now I am here. This is all excuses your mind telling you. We have to step up. Get off the mental platform. Mental platform is the problem. The mind is the problem. Desire is the problem. We're holding on to. Oh, so much suffering. It's so hard to get up. So that's why Rahugana was in the same level. Kings, big kings, they're there, so many wives, so much wealth. Sadhu comes, get out of this nonsense. Go to the forest. So the Varnashram system is there. So we need to wake up. We are so fortunate. We already have it. The spiritual knowledge. We have this Krishna consciousness. We have this temple. We have the sadhus. Krishna is telling us. We are familiar with the knowledge. Janiya suniya vishakainu. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. If you are from India, I already know. What do you know? You come here and learn from us. Devotees never say, I already know. They always say, I don't know. I have so much room to learn. You know, these Mataji, they go distributing books. They're so hard to sell to the Indians. I already have the books I bought many years ago. I already know I bought in India. We never talk like that. We are saying, hey Krishna, where are you? Goswamis are saying this. They are great devotees. They are gopis. They are saying, where is Krishna? And I am saying, I already know. So, you see, we have to learn from the acharyas how to search for Krishna in humility, with humbleness. Trinadapi sunichana tarvabhesha hishnana. You know, I am Prabhupada's disciple, the youngest disciple, everybody says. And people are jumping on their feet and offering garland, this, that. I'm thinking, what that child? It's all by the mercy of Guru. We have the respect. I have nothing. We have His mercy that we are made up of. So we have to always remember what is our real position is. There was this story of the mouse. You know the mouse? Punar Shiga Bhava. He became a mouse once again. He was a mouse and became a mouse again. Because the mouse became what? A lion. A cat. Yeah, a mouse was bothered by a cat. So, and he said, can you make me a cat? He was asking the sage. And the sage said, the task, he may become a cat. And meow, and he was going around. And then the cat was being chased by a dog. And then he went to the sage, can you make me a dog? He became a dog. And then dog was chased by
a tiger.
And then tiger and said, when he became a tiger and he was looking at the sage, he wanted to eat the sage. So he says, I made you, by my mercy, I made you from a mouse to a tiger. Now you want to eat me. Punaram Sukha Bhava. May you become a mouse again. So we have to become very, very conscious of our spiritual progress. We are simply the servant of our Guru Maharaj. We have to remember that we are nothing. But the dust at the feet of the Vaishnavas. That's a great thing, to be dust at the feet of the Vaishnavas. I remember in Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada, when he used to come to the temple, and in those days, Prabhupada's shoes were inside the temple, and they would all be going there, program inside. Prabhupada's shoes were there, thinking, I'm going to go and shake his shoes, let it in there, and it does. So I was shaking. No one is watching. They would have killed me for that, because touching Prabhupada's shoes like that, but there's nobody around. I was shaking. And everybody made sure there's no dust in it. But the thing is, dust the feet of the Vaishnavas is uplifting. This is what we mean. So our position is like that. We have to search for the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Material is a suffering, is a place of suffering. But there's also medicine. It's like this coronavirus. But the damn thing is not going away, you know. Still around. So, and they have these vaccines. There's this thing in Australia, something they ordered and it hasn't arrived on time. You know, some few people got coronavirus in Brisbane and they locked down the place. In India, 95,000 people got coronavirus in one day. And still going about. Everyone thinking, yeah, play bad, drink the ginger water, it'll be okay. Then vaccines. And here we're so freaking out. I reckon this is too much bodily conscious. I mean, you take your precautions, but at the same time, we have to know this Bhagavan is there also to protect us. You only pull your hair, you kill yourself. You wear too much paranoia. Wear a mask. I'm so happy, but I don't have to wear a mask anymore. I joy. Isn't it? Just a couple of months ago, like, there are army in here telling you, put your mask on, or shoot you to death. I can't breathe. So, the thing is, we have Krishna consciousness as a solution to all problems. No one is thinking. You go Harinam. I go Harinam a lot. You know the boys from the ashram in Harinam. It's so fantastic. We finished the Harinam by 8 o'clock. Started at 6 something. And everybody's still going. In the tram. They came to their home. And they're still... The joy of Krishna consciousness doesn't go away. It's still inside. You're excited from the holy name. They say, I couldn't sleep last night. They're too excited from chanting. That's what it does. Rupa Goswami said, the process of devotional service is that it makes you happy instantly. And it does. We have the practical example of that. Everyone thinking, how I can be happy? I'll chant Hare Krishna, you'll be happy. Simple. But people are, now that's too simple. I have to work hard. I have to make this much money. Before you know it, you have a cancer. So what is the happiness? Illusion. Maya is wiggling in your face. And you go for it. Like a donkey. They put the vegetable in front. And anyway, there it is. They give it to you at the end of the day. They make you work for it. Hard. So we are like that. Like a donkey. Yee-haw, yee-haw, and you keep going, going, going. Never get it. Punascharvita charvananam. Yeah, I remember I had sugar cane juice in India. The guy was putting the sugar cane one time. He got all the juice out. Again he threw it in. So he threw it in the ground. It's like no juice, not one drop. He got every drop out to continue to sell. And then a cow in India, there's cow everywhere. Cow, nothing in it. That's our situation. We're trying to squeeze pleasure from the material world. There's no pleasure here. Dry land, full of drought. Even they say the rivers are drying up now. It's in the news, there's rivers drying up. But there's one river that's never dry. It's Krishna consciousness, chanting the holy name. That's full of juice, full of life. When you're looking, it's mentioned here, sometimes people dive into the river, there's no water, they break their bones. It happened to me, really. I wasn't thinking of enjoyment, but I was in the Ganges in Mayapur with the Gurukul boys who used to jump. So I said, I'll show you, I know how to dive. I dove, hit my head on there was sandbar. No water. And my neck was like, I couldn't move my neck. Only this, like one time. If you have a Hare Krishna problem. So much pain. So then they said, you need to go to Calcutta from Mayapur. Tomorrow. And this happened in the afternoon today. So all night. And in agony. There was no air going through, so it was swollen up. So then next day they took me to Calcutta and the doctor says, I went, I was okay. He fixed it, no time. But I was so much agony. So it's mentioned here, people they're diving into the in a river without any water, they break their neck and bones. They say, very nice feeling. I just go to the doctor and fix it. Again and again. They never learn. I break my bone, I'll just go to the doctor. I know one girl in Hong Kong. She was so naughty. Broke her arm. Small kid. They fixed it. And they broke again. Same place. She's a big girl now. I said, he broke your bone twice. He was so crazy. So yeah. So we are like a child. We are trying to enjoy this world. We end up breaking our bones and our heads. Isn't it? I want money. You get your money, but then you also die. In Mayapur now, so many devotees have coronavirus. I was talking to the devotee of Mayapur last night. I said, so many people know me. I sent some money to another devotee to puja for me, so I can be control myself. To Nishinyadev, they said they haven't done the puja yet, because Pankajami Prabhu, who is one of the sages, he has coronavirus. So, don't think we are devotees, we are not going to suffer. We are still going to suffer. Also, devotees suffer more than Kauravas, non-devotees, actually. You see the Pandavas, they suffer so much. The Kurukshetra battle war, what? Just for land. Kaurava and the Pandavas. This fight was there, big war. So, but they never gave up Krishna consciousness. The Pandavas, they never gave up Krishna consciousness. Even me, when I came here, I had 15 years of independence from devotees. I could do my own thing, business, work in China. Then I came here and they got a letter from Giridhari Maharaj, who is the GBC for China. He said, a very good, the authorities, they told me, he's very good Prabhupada now in Melbourne, because he was too independent here and associating with everybody, doing yoga. So Krishna, if you have a desire to serve Krishna, he will arrange for you to serve Krishna in a nice place like here. But if you are purposely going out to get into Maya, Krishna can arrange that also. Just like red light district, Melbourne is not so bad. I was living in Hong Kong. There are areas you don't want to go to. So much Maya. Like women there, not dressed, they're looking for. There's red light district, Paris. I've been to all those places to do Harinam. There's not that area. Avoid this year. Our temple in Bhaktivinoda in the Soho Street in London, just down the road is red light district. Yeah, just go for fun. Don't even think about it. So Maya is there everywhere. If you want to be Krishna conscious, pray to Krishna to make you Krishna conscious. And Maya is very cheap. Is it available everywhere? Sense enjoyments is available to cat and dog. But you don't see a dog with a beak hanging chanting, going to the temple. Maybe Janardhan, that's all. So consider yourself very lucky. We initiated. So this is the way to happiness. The way to the path to happiness. It takes your brain out to be happy. Happy is not something you can find in the bottle or drink. Only have a headache. Happiness is sutta happiness, pure happiness. That's from the heart. That comes from Krishna consciousness, right from chanting. Harinama Sankirtan. Goloka Brahmadan Harinam Sankirtan, descended from Goloka Vrindavan, that holy name. Just a few days ago, I went in Harinam, you remember? It was so ecstatic. It was so inspiring. Everyone was dancing. I was thinking, I can do this all day, all night, till I die. Drop dead. But it never, no one dies from chanting Hare Krishna. It only gives you more energy. I was thinking, how I can dance so much? I was thinking, I'm going to die tonight. I don't want to come back to the material world. I'm saying so much, go and spin, the soul goes out. Like that. But it didn't happen. So we have to have that kind of enthusiasm. Utsaha nichaya daya. He's not just talking about it. You actually do it. And it was just 10 days I was in here at the temple. I was going crazy. I told Mataji, he said, you need to have a certificate, medical certificate, that you're okay. Your shoulder is okay. That you. I said, Mataji, I'm going crazy. I need to go to the temple. I'm too bored. And I have the certificate. But for us, if we are not Krishna conscious, if you're not chanting Hare Krishna, if you're associating with a non-devotee that talks only about Maya, money and material things, let's just avoid that association. That's so boring. So that's what Krishna said, talk about me. Become my devotee, worship you, offer your obeisances to me. You said, no, I don't want to put my head down. Put your head down. If you don't, at the end of your life, you have to put your head down in the box. Yeah. Surrender to Krishna while we can. We have the knowledge. That's why when they go with a gun, don't wait till... Surrender now, voluntarily. Surrender to Krishna. So Krishna says, Ante Narayana Smiti. At the time of death, you have to remember Narayan. Koi baat nahi, I'll remember. All life, it's easy, I can remember. It's not easy. All life, your politics, and at the time of death, Ram. Prabhupada said, didn't happen. You see, sometimes the accident, everybody says so many things. Nobody chanting Hare Krishna. Isn't it? So, we are always tested. So, Bhakti Yoga means we have to wake up to the knowledge. Otherwise, we are going to break our neck, break our bones in the Maya, in the material existence. So, this material world is a place of suffering, but at the same time, we can associate with devotees that can give us that joy, Krishna consciousness, just like Jara Bharat. We act ignorant, fools, but we are fixed in knowledge. Sometimes thinking to myself, I want to be like Jara Bharat. Just like acting, completely dumb. But underneath you are fixed in Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Sometimes I think, some Indian, they say, oh, you Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, get a job. They say, get a job. They don't know we are the most intelligent people. We are already serving Krishna. We are doing what we are meant to do in human life. So, always understand these scriptures are telling us the truth that's waking us up from material ignorance and take up this Krishna consciousness seriously by studying the Bhagavatam and associated devotees. Let the devotees tell us what is the right thing to do. That's knowledge. Simple thing. Hare Krishna. Any questions? I was thinking where you are, and then you are going to attend the class or not. I saw you moving around. And I always think, if you attend the class, then inspire me to speak. Then I see some kids sitting here, that's it. It also inspires me, but there's more people here that inspire me more.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, ma'am.
So when we say in Bhagavad Gita, Karma Yoga, third chapter, also Krishna suggests that we need to do karma, yagyas. So yagya is very important.
Yagya.
Yagya. So which is usually recommended for karma kandis to promote through Varnashram Dharma. But when the Western culture, unfortunately, they do not know yagya, what is yagya. All they do is more like, not in a regulated way, they materialistic, more karmakandi activities only they perform, but excluding yajnas. So it doesn't mean they have to take birth in India once they accumulated pious credits, and then only they gradually elevate themselves to do yajna, and then slowly through varnashram dharma and come to Krishna consciousness. Of course, we do harinams and give them Krishna consciousness through that way, through sankirtan movement. But who are less fortunate, who doesn't come in contact with harinam or our devotees, then
Prabhupada said here in the purport, Kalo Sutra Sambhava, in Kali Yuga everyone is Sutra. Whether you're born here in India, it doesn't matter. We're all born as a Sutra. Just like the president of a country, he may have a better job than the other because his salary is big. But he's still doing work. He's serving others. So he's also considered Sutra. It's not that. Only when the spiritual understanding in the Varnashram, when we are serving Krishna, that level is very high. There is no considered Sudra because everyone is transcendental. Now, it's not like West or East. In fact, Srila Prabhupada left India. He met the white people, Hare Krishna. He was criticized for that. He said, how you can give initiation and Brahman initiation and sannyas to the white man? We all know, what is the white, black? We are spirit soul. That's the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Isn't it? So those who are in the transcendental platform, they can see that. Only we making the differences. In fact, Prabhupada started Hare Krishna movement in America. I mean, in India, but... So the point is, it's not black and white. You have to understand Krishna consciousness is absolute platform. And yajna, you're talking about yajna. Yajna means sacrifice. It doesn't mean fire sacrifice. Self-sacrifice. You are surrendering to Krishna. That yajna. Doesn't mean particularly fire sacrifice. Yajna means your endeavor to serve Krishna. That is the yajna. When you do vrata and austerity, you fast, you chant so many rounds. This is all yajna. So this part of the process. So you are trying to make people Krishna conscious, those who doesn't know in a different way. That's also a devotional service. Type of karma yoga means devotional service, Prabhupada explains. Karma yoga doesn't mean just karma means activities. Activities pertaining to serving Krishna is the same as in devotional service, bhakti yoga. Of course, when you are defining karma, it has its particular aspect to it. So many things. But in our terms, karma yoga means engaging people in Krishna service. That's karma yoga, somehow or another. So, maybe people don't want to chant Hare Krishna. They don't want to come to temple. Give them prasad. So they are doing devotional service by taking prasad also, unknowingly. So, someone didn't want the book. He somehow gets them to touch the book. They get the benefit of touching Krishna because books are not different from Krishna. So someday they are getting the benefit of spiritual benefit. So it's not that when you talk about yajna, we have to understand that yajna means the process of devotional service.
So the yajna, I understand, it's not only fire sacrifice, but my doubt was more about the Westerners do not know what yajna is. The sacrifice in the sense they do charitable activities. That will also count to accumulate pious credit and then eventually they'll come to the stage.
Okay, I understand. So, charity, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, charity given to the wrong person at the wrong time, it only makes it worse actually. Charity should be given to sadhu, one who will use that Lakshmi or whatever in a prosperous way that is benefiting. Or it can also hurt. So, if you are, they don't know those things, his piety, there's no piety in their life actually. Prabhupada said, those who came to Krishna consciousness, either they are pious in the past life, or is by the mercy of Guru. In the case of the foreigners, those people in America and all those places, Where is the piety? There are meat eaters, there's drunkards. He says the mercy of Guru, Guru Bhakti, Guru Kripa. By the mercy of Guru, they are elevated. So, it's not that piety. Krishna says piety is there. Of course, there's some piety, but at the same time, Guru's mercy is also there. By the mercy of Guru, one is qualified to become a sadhu Vaishnava. This is why people are all sadhu, bless me, asiva, because they have the power to do that. At the same time, there's piety is there too, but not in everyone's case. Maybe people born in India, they're born in a pious family. I don't think people born in a Western country, they're pious. Of course, I cannot say it, but we also know, the philosophy explains it, that by the mercy of Guru, Vaishnava, sadhu, they're elevated. So we also have to understand that concept and preach accordingly. So if you are telling some people they don't know anything about, that's okay, but you know it, they don't know, don't worry about that, because they're getting the mercy of Krishna through you. So you are the recipient of the mercy of your Guru. So they're getting the mercy of Krishna through you. So that's also okay. But we have to understand that. We are just the tools in Krishna's process. But the actual mercy is coming from Guru and Krishna. We are just being the via medium. So there's many ways to see that way. Today's Ekadashi, so it's quite nice to give a class and talk about Krishna consciousness and be here. Couldn't sleep last night, that's why I can't crack a joke too much. I was like, usually I'm very jolly. When you don't sleep well, you're like jumpy. Can't get myself. So at least I can, on a spiritual level, everything is fresh, but not the body. Body is dragging, but the consciousness is always good because it's not depending on the body. But the body is not comfortable, then we feel down. But at least spiritually we are fixed in the consciousness. That's why sometimes devotees, they're very sick, they're dying, but they're fresh in the consciousness. Because body is going to fall apart anyway, who cares? As long as we're Krishna conscious internally, we have to be very mindful of that, very. We understand that more clearly. Questions? Yes, sir.
Roji, why is Ekadashi so auspicious?
Huh?
Why is Ekadashi so auspicious?
Because Krishna created it. He wants us to follow. That's one way to see it. Ekadashi is a type of vrata. Like every fortnight, every 2 weeks, Ekadashi. So it restricts us from what we like to enjoy, like grains. Suppose you have any grains, very difficult to eat. Every time you go home, you want to pick up a cookie or this or that, and chips and so many things you want to put in your mouth. That is restricts our Ekadashi, kind of fruit. Nobody likes to really eat fruit. I haven't seen any Indian people eat fruit. Even in India, they have fruit. Follow. That's for God. They give fruit while you have roti and things. So it's like, so an Ekadashi is just fruit. I really look forward to one, two thing I never liked in Krishna consciousness when I first joined Ekadashi and waking up. Then I had to get used to it. Ekadashi is like, wow. In Mayapur, our time, Ekadashi, they make you fast half a day. Then I found out years later, they never have enough money to feed us breakfast. But it's good to fast. Because so, Prabhupada explains in Nectar Devotion, Ekadashi is a day when we increase our chanting instead of eating, read more, chant more, and be in the temple, do more service, cut down your eating. So the eating the regular, to make us more control ourselves So Ekadashi is a day where it increases our bhakti, devotion to Krishna. That's why it's so important to us. My mother used to follow Ekadashi, but they said in Bengal they follow Ekadashi, but they don't eat rice, they eat chapati. They're so habituated to eat rice. For them, breaking Ekadashi means eating rice. They can eat anything. So I said, okay, so I can be iskon, okay, and nothing, just fruit. So they used to give children gor badam. You know what that is, gor badam? Peanuts with gor. I said, this for the cows. So it's very austere. But we understand why we are here, we want to increase our bhakti, so we follow the Ekadashi. So this time Ekadashi is the day when we can increase our love for Krishna. That's why it's so important. You know, if you control yourself not eating grain one day, it's very tough, actually. As soon as you go home, you have a piece of toast with avocado, you know, and then you have, you know, so many things with hot milk, you have porridge, and I mean, I can't live without grains. But you see, you try to control yourself not eating grain, it's very tough. That's why Ekadashi is the day when we can focus our mind on chanting. And when you fast on grains, it's very healthy. I know that Maharaj, that Russian Maharaj, that guy, what's his name, Prabhu, that Maharaj, he was my translator before, you know, Sanyasi. He came here, he's only eating Ekadashi Prasad every day. Rasayana something. Yeah, him. Ekadashi every day. And I said, oh, that's right, that's good. So I did a couple of days. When you go to the toilet, he doesn't have to do anything. He just cleaned. Sometimes when you eat heavy food, it's hard to be constipated. So Ekadashi food is very easy to digest. So when your stomach's clean, your consciousness is clean. Your mind is clouded, gas leak, many things. So your food is easy to digest, you're cleansed, then you put new food. That's why Ekadashi Prasadam is non-grain, so easy to digest. It's quite healthy, actually. Like quinoa, you know, you can eat vegetable, that's good enough. Every day. And it makes you younger too, because your body is not struggling to digest what you ate. You know, carbohydrates, much bread, and all those things can stagnate your stomach and clog up. So there is healthy reasons Ekadashi is good, and spiritually also. And some people don't eat anything at Ekadashi. I look forward to Ekadashi because in our time, in the 70s, Ekadashi was too austere. Now Ekadashi is like a feast, especially here. But don't get too attached to eating fancy food. Attached to Krishna. That's a very important thing. Is Ekadashi or not Ekadashi? It's the same standard. When you become too attached to eating, it becomes sense enjoyment instead of Krishna. So if Ekadashi, we're thinking of our food, we're not thinking of Krishna. So we have to see why we're doing it, why we're fasting it. You know, people fast for many reasons. Political reasons. Mahatma Gandhi is fasting. So you can get the British out of India. So the material reason. We fasting to love, increase our love for Krishna. That's all. But if you have to eat grains in Ekadashi, eat if that increases your love for Krishna. So the idea is how we can go in closer to Krishna, how we develop your love for Krishna, not eating things. That is a secondary. If eating makes you more love for Krishna, then eat. The idea is to increase our love for Krishna. It's easy for me to say, but I love eating. But the point is that we have to understand of everything. Okay. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jaya.